This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A massive U.S. raid in a northern Iraq village led to the arrest of 34 people and the confiscation of dozens of guns, the American military said Wednesday. Residents accused soldiers of excessive force. On Tuesday, a U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside explosion in Samarra. His death brought to 441 the number of U.S. servicemen who have died in Iraq since the start of the war on March 20th. In Baghdad, relatives of U.S. troops visiting Iraq pressed their agenda to meet with leaders of the coalition authority, hoping to voice opposition to the U.S.-led occupation. They will also visit hospitals, schools, and U.S. military bases as part of the trip. A prominent cleric joined Iraq's top Shiite Muslim religious leader, demanding that a proposed transitional legislature be elected directly, throwing another obstacle in the path of a U.S.-sponsored political plan for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi al-Madrasi, a respected Shiite cleric based in the holy city of Karbala, said Tuesday that the legislature should be elected and warned that ignoring popular participation in the political process would have grave consequences. The dollar hit record lows against the euro for the fourth consecutive trading day on Wednesday, as concerns about the U.S. current account deficit and Washington's handling of post-war Iraq overshadowed a U.S. recovery. In this age of mega corporate media ownership, community radio has become almost a thing of the past, but there is an alternative in low-power FM broadcasting, and the group spearheading the LPFM movement goes by the name of Prometheus Radio. After helping to start LPFM stations in Washington State, California, Maryland, and Cancun, Mexico, Prometheus is undertaking an LPFM barn raising this week for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers in Immokalee, Florida. By building low-power stations across the country, Prometheus's goal is to turn broadcasting back to the community-based enterprise it used to be before the FCC changed station ownership rules and turned the public airwaves over to the corporations. For more information on LPFM radio, visit www.prometheusradio.org. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
Forget putting on the Ritz. Try putting on the Mandarin Oriental. New York's new Mandarin Oriental 250-room hotel offers a suite with a $12,595 nightly price tag, beating out the Ritz-Carlton by almost $100 as the costliest overnight lodging in the Big Apple. The wood-paneled suite includes high-tech surround sound, an entertainment system, wet bar, office media room, and French marble foyer floors. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
The corporate circus is back in town, this time with a whole new parade of bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders to entertain us with their convoluted antics. Instead of such convoluters as Enron and WorldCom, the latest clowns are from the mutual fund industry, including such widely promoted names as Fidelity, Janus, Vanguard, and Morgan Stanley. Despite the new cast of names, the shtick is the same. Those running the funds have been soaking us little investors while engaging in insider trading to line their own pockets and to give preferential treatment to wealthy investors. As New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer says of today's mutual fund industry, it's a cesspool. That's most unfortunate since half of America's households, 95 million of us, have our 401ks, pension plans, and other savings accounts tied up in these funds. These companies had advertised that they were the safest place for us middle-classers to stash our nest eggs. But now, even the Republican chairman of the Senate subcommittee overseeing this industry says it is the world's largest skimming operation, overcharging us by some $10 billion a year and endangering our savings. More and more of these mutual funds have been taken over by such huge financial conglomerates as Bank of America, Bank One, and Chase. And these high rollers have used their corrupting campaign donations and lobbying clout to ram a deregulation agenda through Washington that has taken the watchdogs away and turned the wolves loose on us. Whenever the dereg laissez-faire ideologues howl so loudly to get the government off the back of corporations, it's to allow messes like this to develop, where the bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders are free to devour us. This is Jim Hightower saying, remember, these same ideologues have been howling that we should let them privatize Social Security. And where have they been saying we should put our Social Security money? In these very same mutual fund companies.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Wednesday evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us, as always. If you'd like to call the program and participate, the number is 800-TALK-YES. And we do invite conservatives, those of you who lurk and listen to the program. I've turned over a new leaf. I've decided to put out the welcome mat. You know, it's a Christmas season, and in the spirit of the baby Jesus, I'm just offering a chance for you right-wingers to appear on the program and address some of the issues with us, if you like. The phone number is 800-TALK-YES. No jokes. If you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. The environment got hit with a double whammy today. Too stupid to be president, signed his Healthy Forest Initiative. And at the same time, he put Chuck Lavelle, keyboardist with the Rolling Stones, he's got me doing it, keyboardist with the old Allman Brothers band, into the Rolling Stones band, but never mind. I know that doesn't make any sense, but we'll have the sound for you a little bit later in the program. Also, the other part of the double whammy, not just the Healthy Forest Initiative was signed, the Sick Destroy the Forest Initiative, but Bush hopes to reduce mandatory regulations on mercury emissions from industrial plants. That's right, mercury. A toxic substance that attacks the neurological system of the human body and can do serious damage. So it's already in our seafood, and Bush wants to make it easier for corporate America to put it into the air we breathe. Never stops, does it? Also, we're going to play Guess the Word of the Day, once again with Simple Scotty McClellan, the android that is allegedly the White House press secretary. Now, back to the mysterious encounter over the Pacific, or was it the Atlantic, or perhaps it was Australia? No, it was airspace of the United Kingdom. Well, wherever it was when Air Force One was winging its way to Baghdad on Thanksgiving Eve, or was it Thanksgiving Day? Or was it the day before or the day... Nobody knows any longer. The times are just all a mishmash. But you remember the report, the breathless kind of, gosh, you won't believe what happened to us on that flight, taking the President of the United States to see our troops.
Well, what happened was, you know, it's all a big secret, but this BOAC, I guess it was BOC, some British Airways plane flew by and saw us, you know, and they got on the radio and they said, hey, you look like Air Force One. And we said, no, we're a Gulfstream V.
Well, as you know, that story was a lie, an utter and absolute fabrication out of the drug-addled brain of who? Bush? Rove? Andrew Card? I don't know. But it was a total lie. To make the entire matter worse, the Bush White House then revised its story and said...
Well, okay, we left the wrong impression. Actually, the conversation took place between Air Force One and the airport tower in London. That's it, the airport tower in London. See, just a slight mistake.
But again, British Airways has said no, that didn't happen. A spokesman for the company told media, no pilot can acknowledge either making or overhearing the purported conversation, nor does the control tower at any Air Force or airport in the UK.
Oh, well, okay, just a slight misunderstanding then.
I wonder what their third story is going to be. Now, I've told you before, and I don't know if you believe me. I hope you do. Let me rephrase that. I've told you before. I don't know if you believe me or your own research, but you know that the Bush administration, every one of them lies. Every single individual in the Bush administration lies for the sake of lying. Now, for you right-wingers who are hesitating whether or not you want to call this program, I'll make it easy for you for a topic. If you can think of one single thing that any member of the Bush administration, starting with W himself, all the way down into the basement wherein dwells Scotty McClellan, one comment any of them have made that even remotely resembles the truth, call in and I will give you airtime. And the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who tune to this program every night across the fruited plain and around the earth, we'll hear you with your comment. All 26 of them. They lie about everything, don't you? Out in South Dakota, the killer Republican representative and former governor of South Dakota, Bill Janklow, a cold-blooded killer if everyone existed, is on trial, not for first-degree or second-degree murder, but for manslaughter. Possibly one of the most powerful men in South Dakota. That's where Tom Daschle's from, right? Is he from South Dakota? Yeah, okay. who knows where Tom Daschle is from, right? But Janklow is on trial for killing a motorcyclist at a rural intersection. You know the story. Janklow, because he's a Republican, is a liar. Everything a Republican says, whether it's Rush Limbaugh, Newt Gingrich, Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, it doesn't matter. All Republicans lie, and all Republicans lie all the time. But Janklow has a great one here. The night he killed the motorcyclist, or the day he killed the motorcyclist, and the state police showed up, he was in the state police car for, an hour or two? At least an hour. Inside Trooper Jeff Lanning's squad car as they drove to a medical center where Janklow was tested for alcohol, which, by the way, came back negative. No alcohol, at least that's what the report said. But while he was in the car, he kept telling the trooper about a little white car that had come out of nowhere, headed in Janklow's direction. Janklow swerved his Cadillac to avoid the little white car, and in order to avoid hitting the little white car, He ran a stop sign at the intersection and killed the motorcyclist. However, now evidence has come out at the trial. There was no white car swerving at him or not swerving at him. In fact, his defense team acknowledged in opening arguments yesterday that the story of the little white car was, oh, how to be charitable about this, fantasy. So Janklow is sitting there minutes after he's murdered somebody on a South Dakota highway making up a lie. Why? Because Janklow is a Republican. Janklow is a prominent Republican politician. So, of course, when he commits a murder, he's going to lie. Obviously. A little white car. Now, the story is, according to his lawyers, Mr. Janklow is, oh, I know, a diabetic. And he was suffering from, low blood sugar. That's it. Low blood sugar. And that made him become disoriented. We all know our friends that are diabetics, whose blood sugar gets low, they become disoriented. We all know that. So when he ran the stop sign and collided with Randy Scott, 55 years old, on his motorcycle and murdered him, it was because of the, the diabetes. That's what it was. And in addition, according to his defense team, the little white car was just an hallucination caused by, low blood sugar, which is a condition of diabetes. Prosecutors, on the other hand, who played a video for the jury, said Mr. Janklow, who has a history of speeding, simply went through the stop sign at 70-plus miles an hour, killed somebody, and tried desperately to come up with an excuse. A little white car, diabetes, low blood sugar. Christ, I have low blood sugar every 3 hours, but I don't kill people! Anyway, another witness at the trial said that that Janklow had sped by her the day of the murder on that highway. She didn't know it was Janklow, but she described his car, a white Cadillac. She said, I was driving 55 miles an hour. He went past me like I was standing still. And earlier, weeks, months perhaps, on the same stretch of road, a North or South Dakota state trooper had ticketed Janklow for doing 92 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. But no, it was a little white car. No, it was diabetes. No, it was low blood sugar. You see, Republicans never take responsibility for their actions. They always lie. They are filled with deceit. They destroy Christianity. They are thugs. Did I make that point? Now, moving right along from the sublime to the ridiculous, how about Tom DeLay, the Führer of the United States House of Representatives? You've been hearing about, I guess you've been hearing about it. I haven't been hearing about it on this program because we just didn't bring it up. But Tom DeLay had this wonderful idea when the Republicans swarm into New York City for their convention, summer coming, rather than stay in hotels, Tom DeLay was going to rent a luxury cruise ship, and all the members of Congress and their guests could stay there during the Republican National Convention. You heard about this? Well, there's an update on it, and I'll share it with you in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working in middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. What's this? A couple of people have emailed me here very quickly. Phil in Palm Harbor, Florida, and my old friend Matt About Harry. It's going to be in tomorrow's Washington Post that the turkey that Bush was holding in Iraq, the cooked turkey dinner that Bush was holding in Iraq, that turkey on the platter, it was fake. It was fake. It was a decoration. Oh, here comes a bad word. These sons of bitches. I don't believe this. I don't believe. Apparently a Democratic underground, they've got a thread going about this, and it's going to be in the Washington Post tomorrow. Oh, my God. White House officials said they didn't know the fake turkey would be there or that Bush would pick it up. And Mary Madeline, who used to be an apologist for Dick Cheney, my good friend James Carville's wife, until she quit, even she couldn't stomach it anymore, said that the whole thing, even though it was all fake, it accurately dramatizes Bush's qualities. Mary Madeline said, "This was effective because it captured something about the president that people know is true, that he really cares about the soldiers, and he gets emotional when he sees them. Ow! A fake turkey. 2.5, did you hear that? Did you hear me, Kathy? 2.5 hours on the ground in Baghdad, his little photo op, and it's a fake turkey. Oh, geez, isn't that just so George Bush? Isn't that just so Bush administration? These liars, these filthy, 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 filthy liars. Oh, my God. It just never, ever stops with these people, does it? Never, never, ever. And it worked, according to one bat-squeeze poll. What is it, the National Annenberg Election Survey conducted 4 days after the holiday?
President Bush's standing with the public has improved since his surprise Thanksgiving visit to Iraq and following congressional passage of a prescription drug benefit under Medicare. Yeah! Bush's job approval was at 61% in the National Annenberg Election Survey conducted 4 days after the holiday, up from 56% during the 4 days before Thanksgiving. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, we can discount the poll, but it's interesting that there it is, published on the Associated Press's, I don't know. There's got to be, I mean, there has to be some truth to these polls, right? So it worked. Holding up a fake turkey, talking about fake British Airways middle of the night, or was it the day, passing, oh, my God, everything out of their mouths is a lie. And why do they do it? Because they know they can. Karl Rove and Andrew Card and Cheney and Bush and Rice and the rest of these people, they do this for the same reason that your dog will sit down and stick his head between his legs and lick. They do it because they can. They do it because they can. And they know that you and I, and, well, not you and I, will sit here and bleat and moan and bitch about it and laugh at it. But the American public, for the most part, we'll see the picture of Bush holding up the fake turkey. I thought that damn thing looked awfully Betty Crocker-ish, didn't it? And the American public will never hear the truth. And if somebody says, hey, did you know the turkey was fake?
Well, it doesn't matter. He was there, wasn't he? You weren't there, Malloy, so what the hell do you know, right?
When Heston needed Texas, did you handguns concealed? I found this and right down and signed my name. I'm George W. from Texas. We lead the states in dirty air.
We ride from Texas with polluted air.
I'm George W. from Texas. We lead the states in dirty air.
Grandfather's laws and polluted air.
We can save the last sea turtles, but they don't vote, so I don't care. Conservative, don't know what it means. It's something we cooked up for press release. Texas leads the world in the...
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So the Tom DeLay story, let me just go through this real quick, and then we'll come to your phone calls. DeLay was going to rent a luxury luxury cruise ship, the 2,200 passenger Norwegian Dawn, and dock it in the Hudson River. And that's where his selected guests and the Republican fat cats and their ugly spouses, whether men or women, their ugly spouses, and for a lot of them, their boyfriends, the hookers, all the people that cluster around a convocation of Republicans or Baptists. You always know that when hundreds and hundreds of Baptists or hundreds and hundreds of Republicans get together, it's a field day for hookers. Hookers just make an absolute fortune and bless their hearts for it, right? So rather than have something like a hotel or a series of hotels, DeLay had this wonderful idea. Well, the hookers will be able and the drug dealers will be able to come on board the ship a lot more discreetly. Plus, we won't have to mix and mingle with these filthy New Yorkers. So that was the idea. Now, the New York Times, of course, said the... New Yorkers may find it more ludicrous than insulting that Tom DeLay, the majority leader of the House, may offer to house hundreds of members of Congress, fat cat donors and lobbyists in a luxury cruise ship during next summer's Republican National Convention. If he prevails over growing Republican embarrassment at such a floating symbol of gated plutocracy, blah, blah, blah. They go on and bitch and rant and rave about this. And then the New York Times says that the ratings going delay will steal the show from Bush in ways Republicans may regret. Now, remember his plan to have a children's charity, right? This is how filthy all Republicans are, how venal, how just amoral, soulless they are. Because remember, excuse me, DeLay's plan that he was going to have a children's charity help underwrite the expenses for these convention galas and this Republican horse crap. I hate these people. Hell, I said yet tonight how much I hate these people. But the plan to have this boat, this huge cruise ship, was just, I don't know how to articulate my disgust. The New York Times editorially said the Republicans made much of their decision to hold the convention in Democrat-heavy New York, in no small part as a gesture toward the city's perseverance after 9/11. Mayor Michael Bloomberg welcomed the event for the city's hotels, restaurants, and night spots, but Mr. DeLay's former chief of staff has been lobbying for the mass embarkation to the Norwegian Dawn, a 15-deck, 14-bar, 10-restaurant ship offering ultra-priced rooms, and what Mr. DeLay says is, quote, good security. Now, you have to ask yourself, truth seekers, I've said before these people are cowards. They are. There is nothing worse when it comes to courage, decency, honor than a Republican. They are cowardly. They are afraid of their fellow Americans. They're afraid of everything. They are neurotic, if not psychotic. And Tom DeLay, the bug man, is the worst of all of that. Well, okay, maybe Orrin Hatch is just as bad. But in the House, it's Tom DeLay. Unbelievable stuff. He's afraid of New Yorkers. Plus, he wants the security of having a ship. You know, you can secure a ship so that when the hookers come on board, male and female hookers, and there will be both, when the people come on board selling, bootleg this and street that, you know, Limbaugh's drug of choice or several drugs of choice, it's much easier to control the situation when you're on board a ship. Well, in some letters to the editor today in the New York Times, one woman wrote in, a cruise ship docked on the Hudson River will provide Republicans no more of an authentic New York experience than staying at the New York Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Since they chose our city for the photo opportunities at Ground Zero, perhaps they should just cruise up from Washington, get their pictures taken, and then fly out to Vegas. They could avoid the city completely and get political mileage to boot. Another writer, a guy writing New York Times, Tom DeLay's idea of using a luxury cruise ship to house Republican members of Congress and visitors to the Republican convention has a residual benefit. More hotel rooms will be available for anti-Bush demonstrators. Yeah. All right, so that's the story. Today. Was it today? Hell, I don't even know anymore. But Tom DeLay says he will not go forward with his plan to use this cruise ship as a floating, secure whorehouse, drug den, and entertainment center for these god-awful Republicans and their guests next summer during the Republican National Convention. New York Times says today the decision marks an abrupt reversal for Mr. DeLay, who first proposed the idea to Republican members of Congress in November. He stuck by his plan to use the ship even as criticism mounted, with Democrats pouncing on the plan as evidence of Republicans' disdain for New York. Yada, 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 yada. I can't think of a creature more disgusting than a Tom DeLay Republican, or a Newt Gingrich Republican, or a Barbara Bush. Boy, doesn't she look like the bitch of Buchenwald. I can't imagine in my mind another human being. These people must be a different branch of hominids or humanoids or whatever the hell we are. They must be out there with the great apes. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's It's just embarrassing to be on the same country with these people. Don't they have their panties in a wad about this meeting out in California last night, this Hollywood political event? The Hate Bush event. Oh, my God. Since all Republicans are cowards who lie, cheat, and steal, they come up with this idea that this was a Hate Bush event. You know, anything that they can't destroy or screw up, they... I don't know. I don't know. They lie about everything. So this group that met out in Hollywood last night, trying to offset the billions of dollars that flow into Republican National Committee hands from corporations and thugs and liars and bandits. You know, here's a group of Hollywood activists led by Larry David's wife. And the Republicans just go crazy because they're terrified. They're terrified. Anytime there's organized resistance, that's why when I started on this network, I had something like, I don't know, 45 stations that carried this program. I think we're down to 4 now because of the cowardice, the absolute and utter cowardice of Republicans. They are not pro-democracy. They are pro-fascist. They do not. They're terrified of an opposing point of view. They are spineless. They're cowards. So this thing in New York... So Tom DeLay wanted to have his floating whorehouse for all his hypocritical Republican buddies and their wives and boyfriends and girlfriends, and he backed down. They should have just done it. They should have just done it, and then somebody sneak out there in the middle of the night, cut the thing loose, and let it float away. I'd like to say something stronger than that, and you know I would, but I don't want to be accused of threatening the life of anybody anywhere. Oh my God! Oh well. Tony is calling from Chicago. Hey, Tony.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, I tell you what. Right now, I'm feeling really good.
Yeah.
Yep. I just finished up the last little bit of my graduate school for this semester.
All right.
And I'm really feeling pretty good. But now I can fully focus on the amount of garbage that's coming out of the Bush administration.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of things I just feel like I have to get off my chest.
Okay.
I don't get to rant often, but tonight's the night.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, got to say something about the... school down in Lafayette, Louisiana, I guess.
Oh, the one that made the little boy whose mommies are gay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you know, I'm a teacher. I've been teaching for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm a public school teacher. That is the most embarrassing thing, you know, for us, because it's the kind of thing where you would think that educators would know better.
Well, educators do know better. This psychotic bitch down in Lafayette, Louisiana, is not an educator. Come on, Tony. She's not a teacher like you are, or like normal teachers who really are focused on helping their children develop and get educated. She's not an educator. Come on, don't give her any credit. She's probably one of these Southern Baptist hypocritical scum suckers who probably is terrified of her own lesbian feelings, so she takes it out on this poor little boy.
Well, the administration there should be just taken out and just horsewhipped.
Well, they should fire her yesterday.
Least. At
you
the
know?
Very least.
Yeah, let her go work in some Christian school or some, you know, something like that where she can put her poison and her hatred into the minds of the good little Christian boys and girls.
Oh, you have to understand, though, Mike, you know, that kind of thing doesn't just happen in the South. I mean, here in Chicagoland, we have teachers who... you know, will not touch evolution. They, you know, I'm a science teacher.
Right.
And there are teachers I know firsthand who will not touch that topic. They will stay as far away. And the reason, of course, is because they are, you know, they're basically spineless.
Well, instead
of standing up and saying, look, I'm a science teacher. I'm dedicated to the profession of science and bringing intellect and knowledge to your kids. If you want your kids to grow up ignorant, that's your business. But this is my job, and I'm going to do it the best I can.
Well, those teachers that you're referring to, say, in Chicago, who stay away from evolution because they're cowardly, I think that's a terrible thing. But it's not as bad on a scale of badness as this teacher in Louisiana who truly believes that being gay is somehow the same as being demonic or sick or you know, crazy. Your teachers in Chicago or Atlanta or New York or San Francisco who stay away from teaching evolution is because they're fearful. They don't really believe in the talking snake theory of creation. You know, but they're terrified that if they teach science, you know, some psychopathic, freaked out Christian will come into their classroom and say, "You're gonna go to hell." You know, so it's fear on the one hand, as opposed to hypocrisy on the other, and that's the part that.
Let me tell you, I have no patience for either one.
Mm-mm.
I have less than no patience for either one.
I hear you, brother.
The second thing I wanted to talk about real fast, and I heard on IE America Radio before your show,
yeah,
that you talked about the fake turkey.
Right.
Well, did you hear this? I didn't hear that. I heard this just before your show came on, and they were talking about Bush going over. Did you hear what time he arrived and what time they had that photo op?
Well, there's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was not there for the troops.
No, of course not.
He doesn't care. You know, the more dead, the better, because that means less people on the unemployment rolls back here. And if you have 5 dead Americans, that means you probably have 20 dead Iraqis. And the idea is to kill, so that Bush and his collection of monsters can get what they want in Iraq. He wasn't there for Turkey Day, and then it turns out that the turkey he held was a damn fake. It was plastic.
Oh yeah, but you see, the whole point about the Bush thing is exactly the whole idea about what I'm talking about with schools and education.
Yeah.
They want the kids ignorant. They want the kids
superstitious. Sure.
They want the kids to look at just surface information and say, "Hey, you know, it's all good."
Yeah.
And this whole thing about changing the EPA regulations, mm-hmm, allowing mercury. I just had this discussion with my students about the effects of mercury, and they're sitting there going, "Well, thank goodness we've got the EPA to protect it." And today I got to deliver the news to them. Oh, guys, you guys got to go online, and I want you to look this up. And
yeah,
I'm going to see who did tomorrow.
Yeah, unbelievable. He wants Bush, this thuggish little snot, this little hypocrite. He wants the regulations regarding mercury admissions to be relaxed, if not done away with altogether, so that the children and pregnant women, you know, forget people like me, forget people like you, healthy, strong males. But let's get the pregnant women, let's get the children, let's get the old people, let's make them sick, let's give them neurological disorders, let's kill them. And people wonder why I called George W. Bush a mass killer. This guy has as much respect for human life as I have for pond scum.
I think you're being generous.
Yeah, probably so.
I think you're being generous.
Well, Tony, let us know what your students come up with on the mercury thing, will you please?
I'll be glad to do it.
Thanks, Tony.
Take care.
Thanks for checking in. Unbelievable stuff. Healthy Forest Initiative today, right? Clear Skies Initiative. You know, pollute the atmosphere, destroy everything.
Oh, but we support him, Mike. He's an honest man. He's fighting terrorism, Mike. So, you know, you and your tacky little radio program and your constant bitching and trying to tear down our great leader, you thank God that nobody hears you. Thank God you're just on this stupid IE America radio network and, you know, on the Internet, you know. So nobody hears you. He's a Christian man. You're not a Christian, are you, Mike?
We are a rock revolving around a golden sun. We are a billion children rolled into one. When I hear about the hole in the sky, salt water wells in my eyes.
It's not arsenic in the water I'd be worried about.
We climb the highest mountain. We'll make the desert bloom. We're so ingenious.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Got the flying monkey ride blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
5 before the hour. Oh, my God, we have a listener in Norway. Yeah, of course we do. Dag E. Jacobson? He writes, regarding the Tom DeLay plan to have the cruise ship, he Dag writes, a cruise ship called Norwegian Dawn? I'm embarrassed. He says, please don't mix the words Republican and Norwegian in the same sentence. Anyway, Dag, I hope I'm saying that right, Dag Hammarskjöld, that's the only Dag I've ever seen, right? Dag writes, anyway, keep going and don't let those repugnant Republicans give you a heart attack. That may be their secret plan. Oh, no, 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 don't misunderstand. When I get, when it sounds like I'm about ready to blow an artery on the program, that's, oh, no, 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 not at all. I just, you know, I'm just high energy, man. I'm Italian with a bit of Irish thrown in, and it just makes a dynamite combination. Wouldn't you say? Ruth is calling from Orlando. Hey, Ruth.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing. How about you?
I'm peachy. I'm just peachy. I just love hearing you rant.
Well,
good. You know it makes me happy.
I know it does.
It does.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
So here's one of my favorite parts about the Tom DeLay and the cruise ship thing.
Okay.
And I wish somebody, once again, I keep waiting for the media to bring it up. I'm sitting here. I'm a housewife in Florida.
Yeah.
And if I notice these things, I keep wondering how it is that the major news outlets don't notice and say these things.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember a few months ago when a Republican stood up in the House of Congress and said that if money was tight and the budget money for New York City was short,
mm-hmm.
that the New York City police and firemen should work overtime for free?
Yeah, sure.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
How is it that, that DeLay actually can use security concerns, implying that New York City isn't safe, and nobody in the media stands up and says, hey, wait a minute.
Because we have a liberal media, and you know how bad...
Oh, yeah, I know. We've got a liberal media.
Right, and you know how bad liberals are.
Media.
Yeah, liberals are scum, and,
whatever,
you know,
yeah.
Here Tom DeLay is trying to make a good point, and the liberals won't report it, so
yeah.
That's why.
The other thing that... I'm sitting here, I'm on my computer, I'm looking at a Great Circle mapper. Because,
yeah.
You know, I know that the planes, when they fly long distances, they do the Great Circle routes.
Right.
You know what that stuff is.
Yeah, up over the North Pole or whatever.
Well, I mean, this went from Texas to Baghdad.
Yeah.
And flew over London. But then I realized that the reason they did that was because when they left Texas,
mm-hmm.
they didn't fly directly to Baghdad, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they stopped in New York.
They went up and they picked up a Fox
camera crew.
They had a CNN film crew in Crawford.
I know. No. They didn't want CNN.
They told them, no, you can go home for the weekend. There's no news here for you.
Hey, can you hold on? Do you want to hold on a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, and I'll come back to you right after this break. And your phone call, too, Jenny and Brian and Mark and Kaz. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A massive U.S. raid in a northern Iraq village led to the arrest of 34 people and the confiscation of dozens of guns, the American military said Wednesday. Residents accused soldiers of excessive force. On Tuesday, a U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside explosion in Samarra. His death brought to 441 the number of U.S. servicemen who have died in Iraq since the start of the war on March 20th. In Baghdad, relatives of U.S. troops visiting Iraq pressed their agenda to meet with leaders of the coalition authority, hoping to voice opposition to the U.S.-led occupation. They will also visit hospitals, schools, and U.S. military bases as part of the trip. The dollar hit record lows against the euro for the fourth consecutive trading day on Wednesday as concerns about the U.S. current account deficit and Washington's handling of post-war Iraq overshadowed a U.S. recovery. A prominent cleric joined Iraq's top Shiite Muslim religious leader, demanding that a proposed transitional legislature be elected directly, throwing another obstacle in the path of a U.S.-sponsored political plan for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi al-Madrasi, a respected Shiite cleric based in the holy city of Karbala, said Tuesday that the legislature should be elected and warned that ignoring popular participation in the political process would have grave consequences. In this age of mega corporate media ownership, community radio has become almost a thing of the past. But there is an alternative in low-power FM broadcasting, and the group spearheading the LPFM movement goes by the name of Prometheus Radio. After helping to start LPFM stations in Washington State, California, Maryland, and Cancun, Mexico, Prometheus is undertaking an LPFM barn raising this week for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers in Immokalee, Florida. By building low-power stations across the country, Prometheus's goal is to turn broadcasting back to the community-based enterprise it used to be before the FCC changed station ownership rules and turned the public airwaves over to the corporations. For more information on LPFM radio, visit www.prometheusradio.org.
More news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
A Frenchman who burned his life savings to a cinder before swallowing two bottles of pills is facing life with an empty bank account after neighbors foiled his suicide attempt. The man, who lived alone, had cleared out his bank balance of 240,000 euros, $288,500, and set fire to the pile of 500 euro notes in his bath before swallowing the pills, hoping to leave nothing behind after his death.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board. The corporate circus is back in town, this time with a whole new parade of bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders to entertain us with their convoluted antics. Instead of such convoluters as Enron and WorldCom, the latest clowns are from the mutual fund industry, including such widely promoted names as Fidelity, Janus, Vanguard, and Morgan Stanley. Despite the new cast of names, the shtick is the same. Those running the funds have been soaking us little investors while engaging in insider trading to line their own pockets and to give preferential treatment to wealthy investors. As New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer says of today's mutual fund industry, it's a cesspool. That's most unfortunate since half of America's households, 95 million of us, have our 401ks, pension plans, and other savings accounts tied up in these funds.
These companies had advertised that they were the safest place for us middle classers to stash our nest eggs. But now, even the Republican chairman of the Senate subcommittee overseeing this industry says it is the world's largest skimming operation, overcharging us by some $10 billion a year and endangering our savings. More and more of these mutual funds have been taken over by such huge financial conglomerates as Bank of America, Bank One, and Chase. And these high rollers have used their corrupting campaign donations and lobbying clout to ram a deregulation agenda through Washington that has taken the watchdogs away and turned the wolves loose on us. Whenever the dereg, laissez-faire ideologues howl so loudly to get the government off the back of corporations, it's to allow messes like this to develop, where the bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders are free to devour us. This is Jim Hightower saying, remember, these same ideologues have been howling that we should let them privatize Social Security. And where have they been saying we should put our Social Security money? In these very same mutual fund companies.
Look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her
right.
boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Hey, welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We are talking with Ruth, who has called in from Orlando about the turkey landing.
Yeah, you know that was in two British papers.
Yes, I know.
I love that. The turkey has landed.
Yeah, well, it was a great headline.
It was a good headline. I'm still sitting here checking. I was during the commercials. Not that I wasn't listening to your commercials.
Yeah, right.
But during the commercials, I was on the computer, and I was looking at the Great Circle Route thing, and I cannot for the life of me figure out why they would have needed, if they were going from New York or Washington to Baghdad, why they would, because after the first lie where they said that they passed the plane and then they changed it and they said no, they were talking to the tower in London.
Right, right.
I don't know why they would have been anywhere near London. I don't know why they would have been anywhere near England. I don't know why they would have, a Great Circle Route. Plus, if they were coming in and landing at darkness, I was stationed on Midway Island in the Navy, and we periodically would have planes would come in and do a dark landing.
Mm-hmm.
We would have, one night we had a C-131 come in completely dark.
Right.
And it's pretty impressive. But it has to be completely dark out.
Mm-hmm.
So if these guys were flying into Baghdad in time for dinner because they came out and said, no, it wasn't 5:30 in the morning, it was 5:30 in the evening.
No.
If they were coming and landing for dinner, then they weren't landing in darkness. And
sure.
And if you've got half a brain and you're not busy listening to the 700 Club, you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute, why do they need to fly over London if they're going from New York to
the whole thing? You know, I'm beginning to wonder if he was really there.
You know what? I thought the same thing.
It's like the
same thing. Because, you know, when they went to the Fort Colorado thing the other day, they specifically told the reporters. He had that photo op was it Fort Colorado?
Fort Collins, yeah.
Fort Collins in Colorado.
Right, right.
The reporters were specifically told, you have three orders. You are ordered not to talk to the troops before the president. You are told not to talk to the troops during the president. You are told not to talk to the troops after the president. And they did it.
Right. I, we...
The Imperial Press Corps said, yes, Your Majesty.
Yes, may I kiss your behind? kind one more time.
Yes, Your Majesty. Yes. What may I do for you now, Your Majesty?
Oh, my God.
They set him. It's part of a gradual conditioning thing. They get him set up where they blindly obey. Well, you know, maybe they flew around in a circle, landed in some hangar in Texas, brought out a plastic turkey, and the reporters all said, whoa, this is really neat. It's Sandy here. Let's go home now.
Right. Where are we living, Ruth?
We're in Bizarro World.
We're in Bizarro
World. We are in Bizarro World. I also was reading an article today. This is a slight change of subject. One of the protesters, our little free amendment zones that are half a mile to a mile away from wherever His Royal Highness shows up.
Sure, right.
One guy went and stood amongst the pro-Bush people, because
uh-huh.
if you stand with the pro-Bush people, you get to be right on their outline.
Oh, absolutely.
And when the president was getting close, he put up his anti-Bush sign.
Uh-huh.
They arrested him. They took him out of the crowd of the people who had signs that were pro-Bush,
uh-huh.
and they arrested him because his sign was anti-Bush, and they charged him with the federal crime of, let me think of how they put it.
Disrespecting Mr. Bush.
Well, no.
Isn't that a federal crime now?
No, they said he was blocking access for the Secret Service.
Oh, my God. Hey, listen, I'm glad you were in the military because you obviously know how to handle a weapon. And those of us who know how to handle weapons... Well, you still know how to handle a weapon. You went through.
I can do a blunt instrument if all else fails.
And you went through basic. So it's folks like you, Ruth, and moi, who know how to use our weapons, who are going to be called upon at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Oh God, I'm going to be a delegate at the state convention this weekend.
Good for you.
God bless America.
Leave your guns at home.
Whatever. Bye, Mike.
Thanks, Ruth. I appreciate you checking in. I've got to play this for you. This is Bush today when he signed the Destroy America's Forests Act. You know, a healthy forest is a clear-cut forest. Are you curious about how much he knows about forests and trees? What do you call those people who plant trees? What are they called? You know, people that now this is where he puts Chuck Lavelle, who has been member of the Allman Brothers Band since George was doing cocaine and becoming a draft dodger, which means back to way back. Anyway, Chuck Lavelle, who was a keyboard player for the Allman Brothers, got tapped about, let's see, when was it, Kathy? It was when you and I were in Chicago, because he called and I put him on the air. Remember, I had him on the air when he was going to go out on tour. What was the tour that the Stones kicked off about 5 years ago? And Chuck called the program and we talked. And the reason Chuck Lavelle called the program is because I happened to know him when I worked on here in Atlanta on WSB. We used to talk about the fact that he's a tree farmer, and he raises trees, and he's talking about that's the way to provide a board feet of lumber. You raise trees specifically for that, and leave the old growth forest or the natural forest the hell alone. And practicing what he preaches, Chuck Lavelle has a farm or had a farm. I've lost track of him. I lost touch with him because he became a big star. But he has a tree farm down here just a little bit north and east of Macon, Georgia, which is where most of the Allman Brothers lived at one time. But I got to know Chuck Lavelle, made a trip down to the Macon area, also knew, even back in his drug-addled days, Greg Allman. I mean, you don't live in Atlanta for 35 years, especially the past 35 years, and be involved in radio and theater and music and not meet some of these people. So it really is no big deal. But the point I'm trying to make here is for George Bush to say that Chuck Lavelle of the Rolling Stones, he's not. He happens to travel with them and play... Oh, Jesus, never mind. Listen to this, please.
With the Healthy Forest Restoration Act, we will help to prevent catastrophic wildfires. We'll help save lives and property. And we'll help protect our forests from sudden and needless destruction. I understand Chuck Lavelle is here of the Rolling Stones. I appreciate Chuck being here. He's the keyboard player. And he also has a, they tell me he's a tree raiser, a tree farmer, whatever you call him.
He's a tree raiser.
street farmer, or whatever you call him. This man is dumber than a bag full of doorknobs. It's just unbelievable. But my question is, what the hell is Chuck Lavelle doing there? I don't understand. I really don't. Now, granted, I have not had a conversation with Chuck Lavelle in, how long have we been back? 3 years? 3.5 years? 4.5? Probably 5.5 years. Maybe he's become a Republican. I don't know. I have no idea. I know at one time he damn sure wasn't. He was like a lot of southern liberal white men who are progressives and own guns and know how to use them. But he was, Chuck Lavelle was, you know, maybe he still is. I don't know. But he wouldn't buy into this healthy restoration, forest restoration crap. He happens to be a tree farmer in addition to being a musician. But when I heard this today, and Kathy got this, I thought, Chuck Lavelle of the Rolling Stones? He's not from the Rolling Stones. And he's a tree raiser. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, give me something to smash. All right. Enough of this. Kaz is calling from, Painesdale, Michigan?
Yeah, Painesdale.
Painesdale, like Payne?
Yeah, like Payne, yeah.
Oh, Painesdale, Michigan. Well,
Painesdale.
Oh, where is that?
A small town of about 1,000 people up here in UP of Michigan.
Ah, okay, you're in Upper Peninsula. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, hi, Kaz.
Hey. Let's see. I forgot what else. Oh, that plastic turkey. Yeah, you kicked me off with that one.
That'll be in the Washington Post tomorrow's edition, written by Mike Allen. I just went to the Post website. And you can't pull the story up yet, but I have it on reliable sources that it'll be in tomorrow's paper.
Oh, no, I believe you. Just that, as much as I don't know, but I think I despise these people more than you do, but I was having a hard time believing that little coward would go over there in the first place.
Right.
And then, you know, the time of the day and the camera angles were all just so doggone tight, just around a doggone thing, but... But anyways, I was doubting and doubting and doubting, and that British thing come down. But when you mentioned, it's when I first started calling, but about that plastic turkey, because I got to admit, I got to be more naive than the average bear, maybe, because as much as I was trying to doubt him, I couldn't find a way, you know. Like, but when you said that plastic turkey, I just thought about that, because that morning I carried my wife's turkey out, which was about 18 pounds. I mean,
right.
She had a family over, but I mean, I'm not a light man. I'm about 260 pounds.
Right.
And but just the way George Bush grabbed that turkey from that from the cook or whoever it was, that plastic turkey.
Yeah.
There wasn't a droop in his hands anymore, and he carrying it out, you know, forward like that.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, maybe that sissy's a little bit strong. You know, maybe that sissy is stronger than he.
You know, that's a good point, Cass, because I remember when I saw the same video or the same photograph. You're absolutely right. There was no tension, and that appeared to be what, about 15, 18, 20 pound turkey, and those suckers are heavy.
Yeah, they are. I thought, maybe the guy, I mean, the sissy is stronger than he looks, you know.
So it turns out that your suspicions were absolutely on target. It's a fake.
It's a fake, and that just convinced me. I think that I personally think at this point now that trip was a fake. So, I mean, it's going to be found out somewhere down the line. You people are probably going to find it, but... Another point I want to make is that every now and then you seem like you get depressed, but Mike, there's, I mean, hey, you're it for us. You're, you keep, like, this little area I'm from up here is, it seems mainly conservative, and, the cable or what, I mean, we don't get any news. It's you liberal talk show hosts that, sort of keep us a little bit sane, so.
Well,
hang in there.
Well, thanks, Kaz. You know, that's not just true in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's true all over. Here in Atlanta, you have no idea. In Miami, I have friends who live in various places around the country. Same thing. It's not just Michigan's UP. It's all over. Chicago. Look at Chicago. For God's sake. Chicago, the most democratic city in America, where unions practically were, well, not born, but I mean unions, you know, started there. Chicago, working class America, and nobody can hear liberal talk in a city, a metro area like Chicago, of 7-8 million people. So it's not just the UP. Kaz, thanks for checking in, pal.
You bet. Hang in there, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening.
You can come up and pet the turkey if you want to.
Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Would you betray your soul? Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Don't let your weakness show.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a
expense account.
Yeah. What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Kim in Denver
sent me an email. It was not Fort Collins. It was Fort Carson, where Bush did whatever he did the other day. Oh, where that's right. Where the instructions to the media were no questions of the troops before, during, or after. It was Kim says it's Fort Carson outside of Colorado Springs, big military town. I grew up there. Only go back under great duress. Kim in Denver. Thank you, Kim. Fort Carson. And Adam emailed in, Mike, maybe you or your listeners can explain this to me. Flying to Baghdad, Air Force One had to travel through the airspace of Europe and or Russia. How could they keep this trip in such secret without violating territories of other countries? Was Putin a part of this conspiracy? Adam, good question. I don't know. If this were a Clinton, if this were Bill Clinton, every right-wing talk show host in America would be saying the whole damn thing was a lie. You know, what about that group of people out there, and they're out there, that said that the moon landing, when was it, 1969? That the moon landing was fake. It was done on a Hollywood soundstage someplace and never happened. Which, you know, people like that crack me up. Thank God I live in a time when events like that can occur and people like those can float to the surface. You know what I'm saying? They're the same people that believe in the talking snake theory of creation and so on and so forth. But it's great. But to apply their, what's the word I'm looking for, craziness, to the Bush thing is very easy. To overlay that craziness onto Bush and the Bush regime and PNAC and let's invade Iraq because the people will throw flowers on beneath the feet of our onrushing troops and they will lay down in the street and say thank you for shocking and awing us and killing our children and our wives and our fathers and dads and moms, and thank you for blowing our country into a million pieces, and thank you for coming over to steal our oil, and the same kind of madness where Bush can get up and say, well, this is the clear skies. I sound like somebody on speed tonight. What the hell is wrong, Kathy? Why am I talking so fast? Okay, take a breath, Malloy. Jesus. The same kind of presidency where Bush can get out there and talk about Clear Skies Initiative, or what is it, Clear Trees, or Good Forests, or whatever. I don't know what it is today. That it has to do with cutting down trees and removing EPA restrictions on how much mercury can get into the environment. A Healthy Forest Initiative, that's what it costs, and what it's called. And then the Clear Skies Initiative, and I think Kathy played as we're going to the break. Well, it's not arsenic in the water I'd worry about. I mean, it just doesn't stop. It's crazy. It's crazy. And now this thing about, well, there was a British Airways jet that got caught in our slipstream or something, and we radioed back of, is that Air Force One?
Now this is a Gulfstream 5.
You know, and it's a lie. And then it's, well,
all right. We had the conversation with the tower in Heathrow or one of those English places.
And British Airways says, it's a lie. Nothing of the sort ever happened. And then the turkey. I mean, Jesus. Like Kaz said, you know, when he was saying that about how, you know, when you pick up a turkey on a platter, right? It's heavy. And there's Bush standing there with this thing. Oh, Jesus. I don't know. Oh, is it time for another break? Oh, good. All right. I'm sorry. All right. When we come back, we'll get to Brian, and we'll get to Mark in Dallas, and Jenny in Rhode Island, our bureau chief up there, and Robert in Nolens, and anybody else who wants to call in tonight and share the love. Stay with us.
One. high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoofs for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Boy, we take a couple of breaks and all the callers disappear. Well, not all. I got an email here from Dave the Baptist out in Santa Fe. He heard me stumbling around with all the green skies, or clear skies, clear cut. Anyway, he says, look, just lump them together. It's called the Green Skies Initiative. Dave the Baptist. Brian is calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Uncle Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Brian.
Okay. Yeah, I can't get beyond the Republicans have absolutely no shame that this delay, that the fact that they're even holding the convention in New York City, the site where they allowed these totally preventable 911 attacks.
Yeah.
That is so beyond me. But his asking for wanting that ship in the special security and all that for him mm-hmm. and his whoring pals, that doesn't surprise me for the criminals of this ilk. If you remember in 2001, first of all, John Ashcroft, our leading law enforcement officer, supposedly anti-terrorist officer in this country, he refused to fly any civilian commercial flight
right.
from at least March, April 2001.
Sure.
AD. And also when Bush went to that Genoa, I believe it was the G9 trade summit in July 2001
mm-hmm.
in Genoa, Italy, his staff and him, they demanded that that American anti-aircraft and anti-missile batteries ring that entire city in concentrated, you know, around the whole city, because they knew full well of Al-Qaeda's continued voice threats. And for years, Al-Qaeda specifically threatened the World Trade Center. That you can go, there's all kinds of mm-hmm. English radio, Arabic broadcasters that can back this up. There's just so, it's so beyond me to even, I can't understand how the formerly great state of Texas could even allow someone like Tom DeLay to be a representative, a so-called public servant of those people.
Pretty sick.
It is. It's horrible. I do know.
Brian, you sound as wound up tonight as
yeah.
I was sounding.
Mike, I've emailed you a number of times. They're talking about the so-called liberal Hollywood media.
Yeah.
These are the same ones that took that Reagan docudrama right off of CBS. And this is the same so-called patriot, Ronald Reagan, I knew personally too many of those kids killed in Beirut in October 1983. Him and Ollie North, they traded immediately afterwards with their
sure.
Hezbollah Iranian killers. And these people, you're absolutely right not to trust them. They are traitors.
They are indeed. Brian, let me move on. We're starting to wander all over the map here, and I appreciate your enthusiasm. I get the same way. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. I do appreciate it. All right, I want you to hear one more Bush on signing his Healthy Forest Restoration Act, or as my good friend Dave the Baptist out in Santa Fe calls it, the Green Skies Initiative. Here is Bush, another soundbite today. Now, when they decorate the White House Christmas tree, I wonder if Bush, what's the plan this year, Kat? They're going to light it or are they going to chop it down? Here he explains how this wonderful new law helps his friends in the logging industry. my mistake. This gets rid of all those pesky regulations.
The bill expedites the environmental review process.
Yeah.
So we can move forward more quickly on projects
yeah.
that restore forests to good health. We don't want our intentions bogged down by regulations.
Oh, hell
no. We want to get moving. When we see a problem,
yeah.
this government needs to be able to move.
Yeah, we need to move. We don't want our intentions bogged down by regulations. See, it comes right out of his mouth. The diarrhea comes right out of his mouth. There it is. There it is. Constantly. Always coming right out of this psychopath's mouth. Over and over again. America, kiss my Republican ass. I'm taking everything you have. I'm destroying everything you've got. I am butchering it all. Because I'm George W. Bush. And what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Now, somebody sent this to me. An advance congratulations to his soon-to-be former sister-in-law, Sharon Bush. You know, all this stuff going on with Neil and Sharon. Neil Bush, who is paid to consulting fees to direct business to Iraq, who's paid consulting fees with the Chi-Coms, who is magical whores show up at his bedroom door in the Far East and do him and don't charge him anything, right? So Neil Bush, the reason his wife knew, Sharon knew he was a philanderer, but when he had sex with Barbara Bush's secretary, right? Barbara Bush, the doyen of this gang of monsters. Yeah, Neil Bush boinked his mother's secretary. And that's what made it too much for Sharon Bush, and she filed for divorce. Okay, here's what Bush had to say. Good afternoon. Today, amidst my grueling schedule, of delirious speeches to convince the war-flushed Joe Sixpack set that they benefit from the tax cuts I've designed for the Donald Trumps of America. I want to take a minute to say a few words to my used-up sister-in-law, Sharon, who is at this very moment entertaining the suicidal idea of profiting from a tell-all book about my proud, salt-of-the-earth family of petrochemical millionaires. Now, Sharon, I know you, and I have never been... I know you and I have never been particularly close. When our kids were growing up together and we'd all convene in Washington or Kennebunkport for the holidays, most of the time I was much more interested in getting to the bottom of a fifth of Cuervo than listening to you prattle on about God knows whatever worthlessness you think defines you as a person. Besides, you're always so sour, like you were convinced that just because you've got that brassy, bottle-blonde hair that my mom couldn't order you to help Jeb's Mexa-bimbo wife, Columba, pick up Millie's messes off the lawn, right? But that's all in the past now. And I'm confident that you've forgiven me personally for all that New Year's Eve I vomited all over you, right? And whatever our differences may be today, Sharon, I want you to know the current Republican fundraising literature stresses that my parents raised us Bush boys to adhere to the highest moral standards. And as such, I know you realize that when my baby brother Neil dumped you and your three half-wit children to start slithering his Docker's Python into my mother's personal assistant, that he was most certainly compelled to do so only by his unshakable belief in family values, right? And furthermore, I know that you accept that when Neil single-handedly wiped out the life savings of thousands of thankfully powerless blue-collar grunts by using Silverado Savings Loan as his own personal piggy bank, that he was also driven by the same unflappable commitment to Christian decency and brotherly love that so defines my perfect bloodline. Now, over the years, Sharon, I know you've been, unfortunately, privy to many a private conversation between the superior male members of the Bush family. Indeed, whether it was doing your womanly duty as a piece of human lawn furniture, holding two bowls of pork rinds and Cheetos while the menfolk played horseshoe, or pretending to understand while we laid out plans for 21st century Muslim genocide, I know you soaked up many of our most candid and unguarded moments, not unlike an ultra-absorbent today contraceptive sponge. Now, I remember one Thanksgiving in particular, Sharon. While Marvin and Dad were giving their hilarious annual blackface performance of the Aunt Jemima and Uncle Remus follies, and I looked behind me and noticed that not only were you the only one not busting the gut, but you had that pained little weak look of liberal guilt in your eyes. And then at the climax, as Marvin danced a crazed jitterbug while clenching the entire turkey carcass in his teeth, and Dad cried, "Auntie Jammy, Uncle Remus, show enough ones to get jiggy with your ass," you had the gall to avert your eyes and leave the room. I knew right then and there that you weren't cut out for the Bush League. So today, with my perfect family having so righteously shut you out like the cheap trash that you are, I know how tempting it might be to sit down and put pen to paper about your wholly inaccurate recollections. I know how exciting it must seem, meeting with all those fancy-pants, diseased, homo New York City publishers and snarfing down fish eggs and champagne for lunch with Kitty Kelly. But I also know that at the end of the day, you're smarter than to surrender to the temptation of delivering a massively damaging political blow to the hand that feeds your cellulite-encrusted ass. And I know that you're smart enough to turn off the freaking answering machine and start talking to my mother's livid phone calls, guaranteeing your life in exchange for your silence. It's been a long, strange trip, Sharon. But I want to congratulate you in advance for accepting our final offer. You know, Neil is our family's Fredo. Yeah, he's an embarrassment to us. And he was doubtless a terrible lay for you. But at the end of the day, the family must prevail. And that's why you must simply go away, Sharon. Whether that's the staying out of the media spotlight kind of going away, or the permanently vacationing inside the concrete footing of an offshore oil rig kind of going away,
Well, that's up to you, sister.
Thank you, and God bless America.
Linda sent this to me. Thank you, Linda. Ain't it the truth? That's some funny stuff. Before you send me an email and say, hey, Mike, man, hey, where can I get that? I'll put it, you know, you can get it. Go to whitehouse.org, but I'll put the direct URL up for you, okay? I know you all loved that, didn't you? Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Mark?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Was what you just read, is that real? Did somebody say all those things?
Well, you got to pay your money and take your chances. There's a website called whitehouse.org.
Right.
Which is funny as hell. It's not whitehouse.gov.
Okay.
But it looks like whitehouse.gov.
Got it. Okay. So it's a parody then.
It is a parody. I think. I don't know. Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised. Remember, Sharon Bush was going to write this tell-all. This is from a couple of months ago. She was going to write the tell-all book about inside the Bush family because of how badly Neil Bush screwed over her, broke her heart, hurt her, trashed her, committed adultery, destroyed their family, dumped on the three kids, pissed all over her and all of her Christian beliefs. And then just mocked her for it. So she, you know, had an affair with Barbara Bush's private secretary.
Incredible.
I mean, this is Bush family values, okay? So that's when Sharon went, well, enough of this. You know, I put up with this for years. And she filed this law, this divorce thing. And this is, it's from that divorce, all the depositions, that all this stuff is coming out now about all this money that Neil Bush gets as a, quote, consultant, end quote, for companies looking to do business in Iraq. He gets paid $15,000 a month. Or every 3 months or whatever the hell it is to have a couple hours conversation with people. He's paid by governments in Southeast Asia.
Well, now, actually, isn't he a pimp, or excuse me, a whore, because he gets paid to have sex?
He claims there's no money. He claims that when he's in Bangkok, staying at a luxury hotel, there'll be knocks on his doors. He opened the door, and there are gorgeous Thai women standing there utterly naked who come in and boink his eyes out and refuse his money and leave and never say a word. This is what he claimed in his deposition.
Have they recalibrated the intelligence test for these people? I mean, I'm just curious.
This is Bush family values. This is the most whorish, filthy, degenerate family ever to occupy the Oval Office.
So I wonder if Bush's mother watched while he boinked the secretary.
I'm sure there's videotape. I'm sure there's videotape because this is the Bush compound, and nobody moves in there without ID cards and fingerprint checks and video cameras and sensor motion sensors. So I'm sure. I just wish it would get on the internet like. What's her name? Paris Hilton's videotape allegedly is on the internet. I've looked all over for that one. I can't find it.
Yeah. Where's the paparazzi when we need them?
I have no idea. God. Oh, where do we live? Where do we live, Mark? Where are we?
It's a different universe, that's for sure.
Have you found work yet?
Oh, no.
You still haven't?
No, that's not the reason I called.
I know, but I just, you know.
No, I'm hanging in there.
All right.
I heard something today that floored me, and you may have already know this, but I thought it worth sharing for the rest of the audience. I was listening to the Marianne Williamson show this afternoon, and she had on Representative Conyers, from Democrat from Michigan.
Right.
And he relayed a story that back during 2001, he's on the Judiciary Committee. He's the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the Judiciary Committee had come to unanimous agreement on a new terrorism bill, 21 Republicans and 16 Democrats. And they had written it and agreed, and they'd submitted it to Tom DeLay so that he could present it to the House.
Mm-hmm.
And the story, as he tells it, is that they submitted it. The next day, they come back to work, and they find out that the bill that they submitted is not the bill they're supposed to vote on. It had been changed overnight by Ashcroft's Justice Department.
Right.
And when DeLay presented it to the House the next morning, it was take it or leave it.
I have not heard this story, but it is in keeping with the neo-fascism of the Republican Party.
Exactly.
There's no joke here anymore. This is not, let's talk about the neo-fascists. This is how it works in this country now.
Well, this isn't second person. This was Conyers. He was speaking for himself.
Sure, absolutely.
And he said that's the reason nobody had read the thing, because nobody could.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Do you want to hold on?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let me put you on hold. We'll take a quick break here. and come right back. And once we talk with Mark, finish with Mark, we'll be talking with Robert in New Orleans, Peter in Santa Fe, Cecilia in Winter Park, Florida, and Margaret in Santa Fe. My, my, look at all the new callers. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh, yeah.
Which is why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Bye before the hour. We're talking with Mark in Dallas, Texas. All right, where were we?
We were talking about the new
Patriot Act and Representative Conyers. And
Before we go there, I just sent you the link for the plastic turkey bird story on the Washington Post.
Yeah, I just got it. Did you send it?
Yeah, well, I sent it. Some of the people might have sent it as
well. Yeah,
it's
in tomorrow morning's. It's amazing. I read it during the break. It's in tomorrow morning's Washington Post, and it's amazing how, once again, this cheap-ass petty White House is falling all over themselves to try to explain this plastic turkey. Oh, well.
Well, anyway, just a quick wrap-up comment about this Patriot Act thing. The thought that occurred to me is that if these people are willing to subvert the legislative process to such an extent as testified by Representative Conyers, just imagine the other things these people have done in the intervening 2 years.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt, Mark, that the damage that they are doing to our judicial system, our legal system, our constitutional system, all of it. It's just astonishing. It's astonishing. But it can't be all bad because, according to the most recent polls, 56% of Americans think he's an honest man and stands up for America.
Go figure.
I know. Mark, thanks.
Take care, everybody.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Robert is calling from New Orleans. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
All right. You're just great. I love your show. I know you probably don't need the praise. But...
Well, listen, it all helps. Thank you. I appreciate that. When are you going to go over to Lafayette, Louisiana, and kick some ass of that school teacher that made that poor little boy with the two moms feel like such a little thug? You heard that story.
It is absolutely disgusting. You know, it really is. I heard on the show yesterday, well, I actually didn't listen to it live. I listened to it on the replay they have on Radio Power.
Yeah, radiopower.org.
Yes. I was listening to it on the replay this morning, and you were saying something about one of your callers said, well, you know, it's not like there's any gays in South Louisiana. You mentioned, New Orleans or what have you. And I thought, you know, it kind of really makes me feel very icky for people in New Orleans to be associated with the rest of the state of Louisiana.
I hear that.
I'll tell you a story because when I was...
Can I get you to hold on with the story?
Okay.
Because I'll tell you what, Kathy's about to start the music. There it is. We got to take a break here, okay?
All right.
We'll come back and pick up this story from Robert in New Orleans. I love it when somebody in New Orleans tells me a story. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things And working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A massive U.S. raid in a northern Iraq village led to the arrest of 34 people and the confiscation of dozens of guns, the American military said Wednesday. Residents accused soldiers of excessive force. On Tuesday, a U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside explosion in Samarra. His death brought to 441 the number of U.S. servicemen who have died in Iraq since the start of the war on March 20th. In Baghdad, relatives of U.S. troops visiting Iraq pressed their agenda to meet with leaders of the coalition authority, hoping to voice opposition to the U.S.-led occupation. They will also visit hospitals, schools, and U.S. military bases as part of the trip. A prominent cleric joined Iraq's top Shiite Muslim religious leader, demanding that a proposed transitional legislature be elected directly, throwing another obstacle in the path of a U.S.-sponsored political plan for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi al-Madrasi, a respected Shiite cleric based in the holy city of Karbala, said Tuesday that the legislature should be elected and warned that ignoring popular participation in the political process would have grave consequences. The dollar hit record lows against the euro for the fourth consecutive trading day on Wednesday, as concerns about the U.S. current account deficit and Washington's handling of post-war Iraq overshadowed a U.S. recovery. In this age of mega corporate media ownership, community radio has become almost a thing of the past, but there is an alternative in low-power FM broadcasting, and the group spearheading the LPFM movement goes by the name of Prometheus Radio. After helping to start LPFM stations in Washington State, California, Maryland, and Cancun, Mexico, Prometheus is undertaking an LPFM barn raising this week for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers in Immokalee, Florida. By building low-power stations across the country, Prometheus's goal is to turn broadcasting back to the community-based enterprise it used to be before the FCC changed station ownership rules and turned the public airwaves over to the corporations. For more information on LPFM radio, visit www.prometheusradio.org.
More news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
Forget putting on the Ritz. Try putting on the Mandarin Oriental. New York's new Mandarin Oriental 250-room hotel offers a suite with a $12,595 nightly price tag, beating out the Ritz-Carlton by almost $100 as the costliest overnight lodging in the Big Apple. The wood-paneled suite includes high-tech surround sound, an entertainment system, wet bar, office media room, and French marble foyer floors.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
The corporate circus is back in town, this time with a whole new parade of bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders to entertain us with their convoluted antics. Instead of such convoluters as Enron and WorldCom, the latest clowns are from the mutual fund industry, including such widely promoted names as Fidelity, Janus, Vanguard, and Morgan Stanley. Despite the new cast of names, the shtick is the same. Those running the funds have been soaking us little investors while engaging in insider trading to line their own pockets and to give preferential treatment to wealthy investors. As New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer says of today's mutual fund industry, it's a cesspool. That's most unfortunate since half of America's households, 95 million of us, have our 401ks, pension plans, and other savings accounts tied up in these funds. These companies had advertised that they were the safest place for us middle-classers to stash our nest eggs. But now, even the Republican chairman of the Senate subcommittee overseeing this industry says it is the world's largest skimming operation, overcharging us by some $10 billion a year and endangering our savings. More and more of these mutual funds have been taken over by such huge financial conglomerates as Bank of America, Bank One, and Chase. And these high rollers have used their corrupting campaign donations and lobbying clout to ram a deregulation agenda through Washington that has taken the watchdogs away and turned the wolves loose on us. Whenever the dereg laissez-faire ideologues howl so loudly to get the government off the back of corporations, it's to allow messes like this to develop, where the bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders are free to devour us. This is Jim Hightower saying, remember, these same ideologues have been howling that we should let them privatize Social Security. And where have they been saying we should put our Social Security money? In these very same mutual fund companies.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. We are talking with Robert in New Orleans, who has a story for us. Let her rip, Robert. Thanks for holding on, by the way.
Thank you, Mike. Well, first of all, let me do clarify this. You were saying yesterday, South Louisiana. Lafayette is southwest Louisiana. We're southeast Louisiana. That's really East Texas. This is really part of. But the thing is the point that I was going to bring up is just how politically different that New Orleans is from the rest of the state. And this came to my realization of how New Orleanians really think about New Orleans compared to the rest of the state. And of course, the rest of the state hates New Orleans.
Sure.
And because, you know, we dare not to be far right wing neo fascists who like David Duke and
plus y'all have all those French words down there. I mean, France, for God's sake, beignets, for God's sake. Name of your city, New Orleans. I mean, come on, you're French, man.
Well, something like that. But
you remember Freedom Fries, right?
Freedom Fries. Right. No, I don't eat those. They eat French fries.
Right.
I'm
okay.
Such a New Orleanian. But anyway. Anyway, what happened back in '96 when Mary Landrieu was running her first campaign? She actually ran it as kind of a progressive, which was really exciting for many of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in college at the time, and a couple of my friends came down there to work on a rally that was for her, where Al Gore was coming to promote her and so on and so forth. And I won't say his name, but there was a major African-American politician from New Orleans. And that's as far as I'll go with that, because this was sort of said in this little circle here. He stops and he's talking to those of us who were volunteering.
Right.
And one of the volunteers says, you know, what we really should do is New Orleans should secede from the rest of the state and become its own state.
Right.
And this major African-American political figure from New Orleans leans over and says, you know, that's not such a bad idea. We would be a lot better off if we did that.
Right.
I mean, and so that's the way that we feel about the rest of the state, because they hate us.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense. You look at Louisiana on a map. Oh, my God. You're right. Western Louisiana is really East Texas. And you look at the northern part of Louisiana, you might as well be two states right there. There might as well be three states.
Mm-hmm.
Northern Louisiana, Western Louisiana, and New Orleans.
And we really are so different. And this thing with this woman from Lafayette, this so-called teacher, this educator, it makes me sick to my stomach, because I'm a substitute teacher, and I just hate anyone who mistreats a child. It just absolutely boils my blood, particularly on an issue like this. I am gay. And I probably just lost my substitute teaching job by saying that.
Nobody knows who you are, Robert. Nobody knows who you are. You might be calling from Chicago, just saying you're calling from New Orleans.
That's what we'll tell
them. There you go.
Okay. The thing is that this was not just merely some ignorant teacher saying this. This woman damn well knew what she was doing.
Well, the update of the story is the school board or the principal or whatever, they are now saying that contrary to what the ACLU asked for, and that was an apology, just a simple damn-ass apology, not only are they not going to apologize, but they won't even acknowledge that this thing was about the fact that this child's two mothers happen to be lesbian. They're saying now that the boy disrupted the class, and all he got was standard disciplinary action. To stand there and write over and over again, I will never say the word gay in school, that's standard disciplinary action. I hate these people. Have I said this hour how much I hate these people?
I don't know if you did, but I'm not sure you say it quite enough.
Right.
But the thing is what they did. First of all, if gay is a bad word, and my sister pointed this out to me, if gay is a bad word, you wouldn't have the boy write it over and over again.
I mean,
if he had said the F word, would they have him write the F word? I will not say the F word over and over again. No, they wouldn't have him write that.
Stop it, Robert. You're being logical and reasonable, and you're dealing with prejudice, bigotry, and insanity.
But this is what they did. The boy explained to a classmate why his family is unique.
Right, exactly.
And children do not have preconceptions. They're not born with that. They're not born with prejudices.
No.
You have to teach them that.
Very carefully.
What they did was a demonstration to teach the rest of the class that this gay family is supposed to not be normal.
I hear you.
That's what they were doing. And one of the things I want to point out, and really just quick, if you have a second.
Go ahead, real quick.
Plastic turkey thing. I'm just absolutely amazed by this. Weren't we just mauled by the media with story after story about Al Gore and his earth tone clothes and how scandalous it was
because
he was manipulating the public.
Yeah.
And he was manipulating the public wearing earth tone clothes.
Yeah.
But George Bush can carry a plastic turkey?
Yes.
He can serve up plastic turkey to the troops?
Yes.
And get 6 points in the polls and nobody in the media talk about it?
Say a word. Not a word. Except Mike Allen of the Washington Post. Let's see if O'Reilly brings this up on Fox tomorrow. Thanks, Robert.
All right, thanks.
All right, you have a nice evening. Oh, man. God, it just doesn't stop. Karen sent this in to me, and she reminds me, Sharon Bush, Neil's soon-to-be ex-wife, Mike, the story I've read is that Sharon didn't know that Neil was messing around with all those women, especially Maria Andrews, who was a volunteer for Babs Bush. Neil, in true Republican fashion, emailed his wife that he wanted a divorce. And then he screwed her out of a decent settlement. Now, the interesting part, Mama Bush, Barbara Bush's secretary, the one that Neil boinked, got pregnant and has had a kid. Of course, the secretary is married. And there's a paternity suit that's been filed in Texas, a DNA request. Matter of fact, this is just a couple of days ago. Listen up. This is from UPI. A Texas court has been asked to order the younger brother of George Bush, President Bush, to give us a new sample of DNA testing in a paternity-related defamation suit, according to News of Bush. The request for the new sample from Neil Bush, filed on behalf of Sharon Bush, was slated to be heard in Houston's Harris County Civil Court on December 9th. An attorney for Sharon Bush told UPI, "We require he be forced to give a sample under court supervision. He voluntarily did it before we got to court, but not under court supervision. It's a good first step. We want to be under court-supervised conditions." Well, you know what they're saying here? They're saying what everybody knows. Any member of the Bush family, any Republican for that matter, but any member of the Bush family is a damned liar. So now, you know, this thug claims he's already given the sample. It was probably somebody that he picked up off the street and said, "Here, I'll give you $50, spit in this cup." So they want him to do it under court supervision. Sharon Bush. Now, remember, she's the one she's the victim in all this. Sharon Bush is being sued for defamation by Robert Andrews, a business associate of Neil Bush, who claims that she, Sharon, defamed his two-year-old son by publicly saying the boy was fathered by Neil Bush. These people just make me want to, I don't know, smash things. Maria Andrews, now divorced from her husband, is currently living in Paris with the child. Bush has said he intends to marry the woman. This is former business partner. Poinks his wife, gets her pregnant. Oh, my God. Bush has said he intends to marry the woman following his divorce from Sharon last spring. I guess the divorce is over. It was unclear if Neil would join her for the Thanksgiving holiday or remain in the United States. This was published in the on the 26th of November. Neil Bush did not return calls for comments by publication time Wednesday. In a deposition given in the divorce case in March, a month before his divorce from Sharon, the president's 48-year-old sibling detailed financial relationships with firms in Taiwan and China and admitted to having had sex on several occasions in past years with unidentified women who simply came to his hotel door in Thailand and Hong Kong. Under the divorce settlement with Sharon, Bush reportedly pays about $1,500 per month in child support payments to Sharon. What do they have, Kathy? Three kids? $1,500 a month. And gives her $30,000 a year in alimony. That will run out in 4 years. The Bushes have three children. Sharon had earlier been reported as saying she intended to write a tell-all book about her marriage and the Bush family. So now she's being threatened, she's being sued, and her attorney says, "We consider the suit an attempt to shut her up. You have to be blind not to understand the message when they sued her on the same day that she closed on the house for the same amount of money, an identical amount, yada, yada. They're sending a message. It sounds like Andrews is a stalking horse for Bush." And it just goes on and on. Yeah, Karen sent me a link to the story, a URL, so I'll put it up tonight. And at the very end, Sharon, in a July interview with KHOU Television in Texas, said she had never expected a divorce from her husband. It was totally out of the blue, she said. She said she learned that her husband wanted to end their marriage in an email he sent her. "Our marriage has been broken," it said. "It's loveless, and there's nothing left to it." And as Karen writes, "And Shrubby has the nerve to say that he wants to save the sanctity of marriage, and he doesn't believe in gay marriage. He really should have a talk with his little brother. Like he said, or like you said, the whole Bush family is something else." Karen. Well, thanks for the link, Karen, and I will post it so folks can read this. Now, why are we talking about a story like this when the world is exploding, right? Because it is just one more thing. I mean, where else are you going to hear this? About the Bush family's corruption, the filthy, degenerate corruption of this politically psychopathic, murderous family. These are people who order innocent people to death. They blow up cities. They execute people. It's just astonishing, astonishing. And 56% of Americans, or 52%, or whatever, think he's an honest man. It's an honest family. And Barbara Bush goes on Larry King. When was it, Kathy? A month or so ago? "Any time my dander gets up, somebody says something bad about my boys. Well, you ugly old thug, you have raised a gang of killers, rapists, murderers, bank robbers." Oh, Kathy's giving me that look. Don't say anything bad about Barbara Bush. Oh, God. She will kill me, huh? Okay. Oh, Jesus. Not another sound. Another break? All right. Very quickly. Margaret, you're up next. Then Cecilia's next. After Margaret, and then Peggy. Then Peter. And we'll get you calls as soon as we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mulloy.
I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen. What production meeting? The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
An
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. By the way, Paul emailed in, if you want to read that Washington Post story about the plastic bird, you have to go to page A33 in tomorrow's Washington Post. Imagine if it were Bill Clinton. Huh? Yeah. Margaret. Thanks for holding on, Margaret. She's calling from...
Oh, Lord, I've been waiting. I'm being persistent.
From Santa Fe. Thank you. Yeah. Well, hi, Margaret.
Well, the reason I'm calling is I've been so angry today. That there are so many contradictions in this Bush administration. They say they're going to do one thing and then they do another.
Mm-hmm.
And having worked in Washington, I had never seen such anger between the Republicans and the Democrats since Gingrich and Bush got into office.
Yeah.
And one of the things that got me very angry today was, I don't know what station it is, but it was the one that Rush Limbaugh is on.
That's the bad station.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And they had a news.
It's KBAD.
Yeah,
in Santa Fe.
Is that a clear channel?
Yeah, it's KBAD, KBAD.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's just awful. It made me so angry because they were talking about Bush, and they were saying how wonderful he was, how religious he was, and that he was his popularity went up to 61%.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the nerve to say that all the church-going people, the Republicans, vote for Bush, and the Democrats don't go to church, and they don't vote for Bush. How dare he say such a thing?
I know.
Everything is raising my blood pressure. I have to turn the TV and the radio off. Or even stop reading the papers because of what they're doing.
Margaret, I know. I don't know. I take blood pressure medicine, too. I have never taken it in my life. I had to start taking it, Kathy, about 6 months ago. Same thing. I know what you're talking about, Margaret. The only thing we can do is get flamethrowers and go burn them out. I don't know what to do.
If they lie and say it went up 61% and they're talking about the economy... I don't see where the economy has gone up anywhere.
No, nor do I. Productivity has gone up because the American worker is being beat like a mule to produce more and more for less and less. So productivity has gone up. Corporate profits go up because when you get rid of 3 million workers in 3 years, of course profits are going to go up. So it looks good on the profiles, but
that's a lie.
But when you get down to families, there are 9 million Americans now out of work. And it doesn't matter. The media, the newspapers, the television, none of them report the truth, Margaret.
No, and even the Medicare program they signed is ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't know. But anyway, my blood pressure went up to 213, and I had to go to the emergency room, and I had to turn off the TV because I can't listen to the lies.
Well, don't let it get that high, Margaret. Don't let it get that high.
Anyway, I thought you needed a woman come on this evening because I keep listening to all the men, and I know they're good. But
well, I'm glad you called. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
All right. You have a nice evening. Get the blood pressure down. 213. Ooh, that's getting up there. That's getting way. Margaret! Margaret needs to go for a walk in the desert. Just an easy walk. Very slow. Take it easy. No, don't let your blood pressure get that high, Margaret. Come on. Whew. Right before I had thyroid surgery three years ago. I'm sitting in there in the little anteroom, and they're giving me that last minute check. So they do a blood pressure. It was like 186 over 110. And the nurse said, well, Gee, that's high. I said, well, yeah, you're about to cut my throat. What do you think? And I had to sit there for 5 minutes and breathe deep. That's what you do, Margaret. Breathe deep. Deep. Take it in and let it out very slow, and that old BP will come right down. Is it another break? All right. Cecilia, you're next. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
My ass in executions unsurpassed, surplus gone so fast, divided not united. What's he want to do now? What's he going to try? Does he really think Armageddon is nigh? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoofs for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. We are running out of time tonight. Cecilia is calling from Winter Park, Florida. Hey, Cecilia.
Hello, Mike. Love your show. Thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thank you for calling in.
My pleasure. Well, it's personal now, Mr. Bush. It's personal.
Uh-oh. What? What?
Okay. Under the new EPA Administrator Mike Leavitt, we're going to allow coal-burning power plants to emit as much as 700% more mercury into the air.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Well, it's personal because let me tell you something. My poor father was in his late 70s and suffered a lot of health problems. But then all of a sudden he came down with excruciating pain in his extremities, and he was diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy. Basically, the nerves died, and he was in agony that you would
oh,
it would be like having, like, you know, coal fire on your feet 24/7. And he was diagnosed after blood work with 600% above normal mercury levels.
Oh, my God.
He was a staunch Catholic and ate fish four times a week.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Oh,
so he was on morphine, spinal injections, and they never did control. He was on more than 200 milligrams of morphine per day.
Oh, my God.
And it still didn't touch it.
I am so sorry.
This was a staunch Catholic who considered suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, Mr. Bush, it is personal. All right? He is thankfully gone and is no longer in pain. But, you know, this monster, this evil creature and his evil minions, Margaret, you should... I have a cure for your blood pressure. It's called walking precincts to get this fool and his administration out of office.
That's a good idea.
Okay. We have got to get passionate. We can't. I'm beside myself with anger.
I know.
We're going to have sonar testing that's going to blow the brains out of our cetaceans and our marine mammals.
Yeah.
We've got the unhealthy forest legislation. They're going to fill in wetlands. I mean, they're going to undo clean air, clean water, you know, endangered species. You want to talk about what they're going to do? They're going to allow them to go after endangered species to allow the zoos and the hunters and the trophy people to import in endangered species under the guise of protecting them. These people are evil.
They are. They're demons from hell. Yeah, we never talked about that. That story came out about 6-8 weeks ago. Endangered species around the planet. Hunters will be allowed to go get them. They will they will take some of these endangered species, these animals, and bring them and put them in zoos as if that's going to mean something, and the rest of them are open season on them.
And of course, we know that under the guise of these new regulations for Endangered Species Act, under this administration, they're going to be treated with the utmost care and respect,
yeah,
right?
Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
And
absolutely.
Pigs fly.
Absolutely.
You know, so, Mike, keep up the good work, and I never miss your show. I emailed you to thank you before, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you. This is my first-time caller, and now you're going to hear from me. I'll be the penny that darkens your telephone from time to time.
That's good. Thank you, Cecilia.
Have a great night.
All right. You have a nice evening. All right, now, exactly what Cecilia is talking about, here's simple Scotty McClellan at the press briefing today. First, it was arsenic in our water, and now, of course, Bush wants to roll back mercury emission regulations strictly to benefit his corporate buddies, especially in the coal industry. Between this idea and the logging bill, it's been a rough day for environmentalists, and that's all of us, because we all breathe, we all drink water, we all have to get our food out of the ground. It's been a bad day for all of us. A reporter says, Scott, is the president not concerned that under a cap and trade policy, while you may get reductions in mercury emissions in certain markets, you will still have plumes of one of the most toxic substances known to man?
This is an administration that is committed to improving our air quality, improving our water quality, and to protecting our land and to building upon the progress we have made over the past decades. And there are two options that are being explored. You mentioned one. One would be the command and control approach, and the other would be a market-based approach based on the successful acid rain program that imposes a mandatory cap on emissions.
The only reason the acid rain program was successful is because Republican and Democratic administrations over a 30-year period imposed regulations that were enforced by the EPA, regulations that are now being destroyed by this monster, George Bush. Still on mercury, another reporter says, as you know, Scott, mercury causes birth defects, and many pregnant women don't eat fish because of mercury. And the headlines today said that the Bush administration is going to roll back these regulations.
I don't know that I'd always pay attention to the headlines. We're rolling forward on improving air quality. That's what we're doing. We're rolling forward to significantly reduce mercury emissions. And that's why I pointed out that the way we look at it, that a tough mandatory cap with trading offers promise for greater reductions in mercury emissions over a longer period because of the improvements in technology and innovation that would come along with that. We are continuing to explore both options.
These are the kind of mass murderers that are running this country. Last question. A reporter wants to know, Scott, on the regulations for mercury emissions, has this administration taken into account the long-term health effects? And are you confident that those people who are in areas where mercury emissions will be increased, that they'll not suffer adverse health effects?
Again, there's a public comment period that will be going on during this rulemaking process, and people will have a lot of opportunity to weigh in on this. There hasn't been a decision that's been made. There are two options being looked at, and I outline what those two options are.
You little rat bastard. A lot of the people who would like to testify, you little rat bastard, are dead. A lot of the people, and you just heard the daughter of one of them, you little rat bastard, of the people who are affected by mercury emissions are dead. And one more thing, you little rat bastard. There are an awful lot of fetuses floating inside of women right now who, thanks to what your boss is doing, are going to be deformed, either physically or mentally or emotionally. I hate these people. And if you are breathing and you live in this country and you don't find every single member of the Bush administration an absolute abomination and scum, then there's something wrong with you. Maybe it's just you're not paying attention. Scott McClellan stands there and puts out his gibberish about mercury, a heavy metal that will destroy you. And if you are pregnant, it will eat your fetus alive. But Bush has to pay off his corporate friends. And if your health or your unborn child's health or your mother's health, your father, your own health, it doesn't matter. Your three-year-old who's playing outside breathing this filth in, thanks to George Bush, it doesn't matter. People wonder why I refer to them as killers, as mass murderers. Are you serious? Peter's calling from Santa Fe. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Frank. I'm a first-time caller. In fact, I've been holding for about 55 minutes
well,
to get on.
I'm sorry.
I've got to tell you, I was really delighted because you had the call from Margaret in Santa Fe, who's my surrogate aunt. And,
really?
She's from Washington, yeah, and I heard her, and I was really impressed. And I have to tell you a little secret before I start.
Okay.
She was a staunch Republican, and I'm glad that she woke up and smelled the coffee.
as long as she doesn't have a stroke. You know, I mean...
Oh, that's just the way she is, though. She's really... Once she has her mind made up on something, boy, she's a tough cookie, but I'm glad that she's now a Democrat.
Well,
not a Republican.
Well, bless her heart.
She's wonderful. But, you know, God, I'm glad you used that word, rat bastard. And it didn't get bleeped on the air.
No, well, there's nobody here on my side of the microphone to bleep something I say. I just get these horrible looks from my producer. Kathy looks at me through the glass here that separates us every time I say that word, and it's like, well, you know you're going to lose more radio stations. And my answer is, I don't care. I don't care. With the kind of garbage that floats out from television and radio, right-wing television, right-wing radio, and some program director, some little weasel bastard is going to drop my program because I use the term rat bastard, I don't care. I really don't care.
That's exactly what I want to talk about. I'm disturbed that the media is filled with sensational stories like Paris Hilton, Michael Jackson, Scott Peterson, etc.
Right.
What I want to see on the front page news and on the top of the stories in broadcast news is how many American soldiers and Marines were turned into hamburger in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Never happened. Never happened,
Peter.
All
in the name of Halliburton and Bechtel.
Yeah, never.
I, along with every other American, want to be outraged like I was during the Vietnam War when I was 10 or 12 years old, watching all the footage during the Walter Cronkite news.
Right.
On my way home today while I was listening to you, I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Support President Bush and our troops." I say we need to all make a new red, white, and blue bumper sticker that says, "Support our troops, dump Bush."
Yeah, for sure.
And the last thing I want to tell you, and because the time is running out on your show, I think, but if Bush is not handed the gift of that moron, Ralph Nader, running for president, you hear what I'm saying? If Bush isn't handed the gift of that moron, Ralph Nader, running for president, then, and I want you to get a highlighter and mark your calendar, I think November 6th is Election Day, and I want you to go back 6 to 8 weeks to September 11th. Then about 6 to 8 weeks before the next election, possibly on September 11th, 2004, Bush will miraculously find Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein so that he will catapult himself enough in the polls so that he will win the election in November. He won't be reelected because he was not elected the first time.
That's right.
He will be elected. But this is only if Ralph Nader doesn't run, and those new fraudulent voting machines that they're making are not put to use in states where there were election difficulties and problems in the last election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you heard about those new voting machines.
Oh, sure. We've talked about that many times, and I live in one of those states.
And I did hear Congressman Connors today this afternoon, and I thought that was just outrageous. This Patriot Act, it just wasn't meant to be.
Well, this is how governance is conducted in this country now with Republicans. The reason Republicans were kept in the minority for generations, actually, is because they cannot govern. Modern-day Republicans have become nothing but religio-fascist. They're incapable of governing. They're incapable of being honest. They are a degenerate bunch of thugs, but they have the media. And as long as they have the media that refuses to report the truth, refuses to turn the rocks up and show these maggots for what they are, then we're doomed. I don't know if we're going to get out of this properly on Election Day 2004 or not, Peter.
I don't think we are, Mike. I think the media, the truth is boring. Sensationalism sells.
Well, there's enough sensationalism, though, in exposing the crimes of George Bush and his filthy administration to give us enough sensationalism to last for the next decade. They just simply won't do it.
Exactly. I think what sells, the Republicans spent $100 million to depance the President of the United States in front of the world.
Yeah.
Right now, we $87 billion in Iraq when we could be putting that money in Medicare or Social Security or in cures for diseases.
Or education. Or,
oh, my God, yes, education. That's what's going to kill this country is lack of education.
Yeah. Well, Peter, I hope you call again. I'm glad you called tonight. Watch your blood pressure, pal.
I was going to say, maybe, since she's my surrogate aunt, it's not hereditary, but I hope I don't have a blood pressure problem one day.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I don't know how anybody cannot have a blood pressure problem if you're a thinking, rational human being. I almost said liberal or progressive, but no, even a thinking, rational conservative. I've said a million times on this program, I'll make it a million and one, I have no problem with genuine conservatives. I have no problem with genuine Republicans. My entire life, half a century, I watched the interplay between Republicans and Democrats, between liberals and conservatives. Sometimes this gang won, sometimes that gang won. But the country kept moving ahead. Granted, the Republicans, anytime they won, tried to retard things, but Americans understood basically that Republicans have maybe two or three decent qualities, Democrats have about 600, and that if you want to advance a society, then you vote Democratic. Now, I don't know what has happened. I honestly don't. Apparently, we decided, as I've said before, as you've said before, we decided after 8 years of peace and prosperity, relative prosperity, that we didn't want it anymore. We didn't want budget surpluses. We didn't want people making money. We didn't want jobs. We didn't want an expanding economy. What we wanted was filth and dirt and war and destruction and death and unemployment and a degraded environment. That's what we decided. How did we decide that? Because we let this damnable last election get so close that five thugs on the United States Supreme Court could hand it off to this vicious little bastard from Texas. That's what happened. Now, I don't know what it is. Maybe every society at some point decides to self-destruct. Whether it's Persian or Greek or Chinese or Hindu or American, maybe at some point it decides, well, we've had enough. Let's devour ourselves. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. I don't know. But it's enough to make your blood pressure go up. Eh? Oh, my God.
Collective approach is one based upon sound science and not based upon science. Look around, choose your own ground. How you live, how you fly, smiles you give.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like a...
Okay.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth!
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Sipe from United Marketing Force, Jay Brintlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Chop suey, chow mein, kung fu, tofu, and you. Oh my God. Where are we? Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Yeah, I do that jingle too.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God!
Chop suey, chow mein, kung fu, tofu, and you.
I only wish I knew the musical it came from.
I don't know. I that was a real popular show in 1958.
Fortunately, it's before I was born.
Okay.
Yeah, but what I was calling about?
Yeah.
We had a phone call from Iraq today.
You did?
Yeah.
From a relative, a friend?
Well, it's kind of weird, but it's
oh, Jesus, fine. And we only have a minute and a half here.
I'm going to burn it up.
Oh, okay.
He's the biological father of my stepdaughter.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. But we're all good pals now.
Right.
And
why is he there?
Because he's in the National Guard.
Okay. Oh, so that's where our National Guard people are now in Iraq. Okay, I got you. All right.
And he let us know that... the regular Army people, now he's been there for like 9-10 months, something like that.
Oh, my God.
When you're in the regular Army, though, you go home after 6.
Right.
And he was kind of hoping for good news, didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy cried today, Mike.
I can understand.
He finally got one out of 3 ceramic plates for his flak vest, the one that goes in the back. In other words, run, boy!
Yeah. Nice they got him a little body armor.
Yeah, but run. You know, don't get shot in the front, get shot in the back.
Get shot in the back, yeah.
But today he said to my wife, make sure, talking about our daughter.
Right.
Yeah. Make sure she goes to college.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Make sure she doesn't get married early.
Yeah, given mom the last minute.
Well, she cried. I cried. And well, you know, it's what Cecilia said, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's personal.
Yeah, I don't know how we're all going to get through this, Robin, but...
I'm sick.
I know. I hear you.
Because, I mean, this is a buddy of mine.
I know.
You know, make sure she goes to college.
We got to leave it there, pal.
All right.
Thanks, Robin.
Great night now.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Ow. We'll get through this. Robin's stepdaughter's biological father and Cecilia and you and me. We'll get through this. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Charlotte Jones, producer in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall is our webmaster, MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Thanks, guys. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope.